record. There we go.
Hello, bears.
Don't think. No thinking.
Only one only bear, recording. Because the other bear does not deserve it.
I refuse to give any sort of limelight or exposure to Craig. He will sleep Craig's... in his box.
Craig is what started us off, man. We owe it to him.
Okay. I'll just do it for, like, you know, just the nostalgia of hearing his voice. Here we go.
Now recording.
But are you really, Craig?
No. Okay, place your bets on how long the bear is going to last.
I give the bear 15 minutes.
See, I'm not even sure I'm going to give any time at all. Because I'm looking... Oh, no, wait. No, there is a recording. Never mind.
Recording.
Yeah, I was just ignoring the second to last message. I was about to say, I don't think he's lasted all of 1 second. Cool.
Fantastic. So, wonderful.
This is a live recording. You know,
the
I
only
think
problem is that no one's here.
It's a Sunday, which is when we always record, but never mind. Yeah, so, you know, fun. I guess my approach to these live, I guess, quote-unquote coffee break slash not coffee break, is that I just don't edit them as much.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
That's the gift.
Well, they would be really live if anyone was here listening to us live.
We've got the bears, they're live. And, you know, one of them is barely alive. But
barely.
Bear.
This is so professional. We are excelling.
Yes. It's okay. All good. Right.
Well, this is going to be an adventure because it's going to be you and I being nerds about curses.
Yep.
Perfect. You saw the outline that I made that we're not going to stick to?
Where is it?
I threw it in our stuff.
Okay, professionals. There it is. Okay. I will click it. I've clicked it.
Delightful. Wonderful.
I am currently in the Word document. Boom.
Wonderful. Well, we don't have a Theo anymore. Theo is still here. Theo is just taking a day because Theo doesn't feel well.
That would be an absolute bombshell to drop.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
I want to add a line in, just because I'm gonna add it at the very, very end, because this is a rabbit hole.
Perfect.
There we go. I mean, I'm gonna put a question mark because I don't really know the answer to that. Oh dear, that's not a backspace. There we go.
Nobody knows the answer to that. I would put that in the "How does it work" section, because that is some part of it is why it works, and we don't know why.
Okay. Okay. Ah, okay, I found it. I'm going to drop it in here. Boop.
At what point are we just going to start?
Whenever you want to.
It's been 10 minutes since you pinged. Okay, we'll just do it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Everybody can just come when they come or not. It's fine. I'm not in charge of their lives. Are you adding more things? Please add more things.
No, I think we can bounce back and forward on this for a little while.
Yeah, this is going to end up way longer than it needs to because we both are giant nerds.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
Oh, I do. Oh, I do want to add something. I don't know whether you've put it in there.
Do it. Add it.
I'm going to... Where do I want to put this? Modern? No. Okay. Okay. Just all caps.
Because we're passionate.
I'm gonna put the Nori boy in there. Nori boy?
The Nori boy?
Gnawing boy. There we go.
Oh, the gnawing boy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's the Brit scent. You can't say it.
Gnawing. No. Gnawing. See, there's no. The gnaw. It's too rounded. Do you say gnawing?
Gnawing.
Gnawing. Oh, that's a weird sound in my mouth.
Yeah, you add an R in there somewhere, and I kind of enjoy it.
Gnawing. Wow, okay. we kind of go like lower palate. It's very understated. It's like and the
American English is marshmallowy. It's really sticky.
It's like the top of the palate. Mm-hmm. There we go. We're doing linguistics. As little as I know about that. Okay, anyway.
We're professionals. Okay, I guess we're going to start.
Yep.
Good morning is a bad intro because it's only morning for me.
I mean, it could be morning whenever they're listening. You're only allowed to listen to this episode in the morning.
This is the rule.
Yep.
Hello, good morning. If it's not morning for you, please try again later.
Yeah, stop. Pause. Try again in the morning.
Let's talk about Nithing Poles. I'm Kenna. My pronouns are she, her.
And I'm Sif. My pronouns are also she, her.
Theo's not here today. Theo's taken a day. We're gonna roll with it. So let's start off. Yes, Sif?
No, nothing. I'm just interjecting my usual nonsense. Carry on.
Perfect, as we should. So let's start off with what a nithing is and what it means. It sounds a lot like nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. That was my instinct when I was looking this up. My instinct was it came from or was a precursor to the wording. Incorrect. Not that. Nithing comes from the Old Norse nith, which means scorn or strife, which has very bad vibes. You do not want to be on the receiving end of one of those bad boys. Not great. Traditionally, they're a physical curse, so they're not strictly like a magical working. They're a physical representation of a curse constructed using a freshly decapitated horse head mounted to a pole. The curse itself may or may not be carved into the pole, and the head of the horse faces the object or target of the curse.
See, I know we've discussed this before about whether how precise the direction it needs to be, or, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So I just get funny. I know it's like the, obviously, the kind of intent behind it would probably direct the curse more than anything, but the idea of just having just like the horses, or the decapitated head of the horse's vision kind of spraying out in like a cone shape, and there's anyone in that cone for like miles and miles and miles, it's screwed.
Yeah, I don't really know what the intensity of the directionality is. I don't think anybody does. Because it seems from the references we have, it's just like in the general direction of the person whose day you are ruining.
I am cursing you in a general direction.
It's literally, I spit in your general direction is what it is.
I really want to know. I know that we'll get onto this in terms of our historical sources are not completely comprehensive. They're not massive. We don't have a massive amount of detail on all of this. But I wish we had more. I know it's a really specific and weird topic to want to have more considering everything we don't know. But I have so many questions. So many questions.
Every answer only leads to more questions with this thing.
Yes. And for anyone that is... See, I'm gonna go against the grain. I'm gonna pronounce it nithing.
Nithing.
Yeah, it's short I. More linguistics.
Ooh.
Just
that's actually probably more likely to be correct.
Well, you can say however you want. We're not going to be those people that like you have to say it this way and no other way. Say it however feels comfortable to you. Lower palate, higher palate, don't mind. So if the word nith kind of seems familiar to some people, but you've not come across like a nithing pole, obviously nidhogg or nithhog, nithhogger, nidhogger, is very much about, you know, that sort of thing. It's the character, the being of nidhogg is, you know, supposed to be sort of a, not really
he's
evil, but like a
pig.
Bad thing.
He's a scorn pig is what he is.
It's a non-serpent serpent. Dragon, serpent, worm.
Scorn dragon.
Yeah, that is
okay.
The...
I see what my brain did. I read hogger and went, oh, that's a pig. Clearly. I'm a very good pagan. I do
it's
my
like
research.
A strike, right? Hogger?
I think it's right.
Like a strike? hit. Honestly, I'm okay. I will look this up so we have an actual definition, so we're not just. I just think it's pretty simple. Curse Striker. Oh, it's pretty close. He who strikes with malice. Now that is a cool name.
Delightful.
it's gonna be funny if he was just a pig.
God, it would be hilarious.
So many
clearly,
balls and...
Snorri should have fixed that. He didn't know what he was doing. Damn you, Snorri.
You would not believe how many times I said damn you, Snorri, yesterday. It was a riot.
You didn't
anyway.
Post any of it in Damn You, Snorri. Anyway.
Oh.
We have a channel anyway. For it.
Moving on. Yes, we have Nith or Nid Hogger, who is the one who's
talking about. In a traditional spelling, if nithing, nithing, or nithogger uses the that short th slash d sound with the funny d shape letter, I don't know the name of it.
The f.
Yeah.
I know that nithogger does.
Okay. I would imagine then that nithing was spelled in that way. You can't see me, but I'm drawing the letter in the air in front of me.
Like a d with a line through it.
Yeah, the that one.
I've never actually... No, that's a lie. I'm pretty sure I have seen it. Yeah, 100% I've seen it with the F in it. Where is my brain going? Yes, it is normally
it's
spelled with the F.
It's common because it's not an English letter. We don't have it on the keyboard, but it is not important, but cool to note because there's a sound change there.
Yeah, and I think if you wanted to say Nithing Pole, it'd be Nithstang. Let's just, you know, let's just put a pin in that.
Nithstang is what I see. Because ing is, we're on a tangent. Ing is Old Norse as well, that ing ending.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nithingstang.
Nithingstang.
Just, if you're listening to this, just, this is the nature of Old Norse and translating things.
Yeah, it's a lot of question marks and.
Yep. All of the fun, and if you don't say the F, that is also absolutely fine.
Yes,
I can't think of a good example of like Othin versus Odin,
Scotty versus Scotty.
I say
Sather versus Sather.
Yep. See, there's loads, but
fine.
You know, there's
everybody
really
knows
important.
What you mean. Either way,
yeah, and I find that if when you're talking to heathens, they you know it's never questioned. It's just
yeah.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah.
Everyone just does their thing. Okay, we're gonna get back
on our
train tracks. So where do we see references to the Nithing Pole? Not a lot.
My favorite saga. No,
everyone's
not my
favorite
saga.
Aegil saga. Bless Aegil.
Yeah. Only because it has that cool Freya reference in it.
It does.
About...
It also has the cool horse head curse, which is part of why it's one of my favorites also, even though I haven't finished it.
Is it better than Eric the Red in your estimations?
Oh, I don't know. That's a big question. It's different.
It is very different, to be fair.
Both have these like weird little magical bits thrown in, but Eric the Red is very specifically the witchcraft that was like frowned upon and scary and intimidating and not safe. And in Aegil Saga, it's much more like built in to their lives. Like
it's just every day.
It's just every day Nithing Pole erection. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, we need merch. Yes. Nithing Poles.
Fantastic.
Oh yeah. That are hobby horses. That is a tangent.
That is a tangent. When we get to modern, we'll talk about it.
Because I saw something about hobby horses. And their connection to... Oh, God. Okay,
you will get there.
You do the thing. I'll look it up.
Okay, so a lot of what we understand about Nithing Poles comes from this section of Aegil Saga. It's the description of how he took the pole, went to a mountaintop, affixed a horse's head to it. We have no mention of how that horse's head was obtained. We do not get that description. We only get that it was affixed to the pole. After that, he spoke the curse out loud. He turned the guardian spirits of the land against the target of the curse, which is just brutal. Effectively, let me see if I can find what he said. May all the spirits of the land wander astray or not reach their home until they have driven out of the land, until they have driven out of the land King Eric and Gunhilda. So may the land spirits not rest until these people fuck off of your home. Which is brutal.
Yes.
He plants the pole, directs it toward the mainland where the king and queen live, and on the pole he carved the runes expressing that curse. And that is the bulk of what we know about the function of Nithing Poles.
Yes.
We have, oh, I can't say that saga name. Sif, what's that one with the V?
Fathom's Dala?
Yep, we're going with that. That saga.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a coward. This one says it, oh no, we used a human head, which was placed on a post with runes carved into it. We kill a mare, mm-hmm. place the post onto the mare's breast with the head facing in Bogey's house. So he got knived because he was a coward, because he didn't show up for a holmganga. Or a duel, parentheses.
Yes. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, that one is very interesting. Please don't knife people who don't show up to your arguments. Like, obligatory.
Well, I do that all the time.
Don't do that. But, so this, going off of this, we don't have a ton. We have horse head, we have look, make it look at the person that you are upset with. We have carve your curse in. All of these sources, of course, say carved in with runes. That was the written language of the time. I am personally of the opinion that the runes themselves are just the expression of the curse and not the thing that gives the curse power. So if you have to knive, first of all, consider it more. Second of all, you don't have to transliterate your curse into runic script. Just carve it in English. The point is that the curse is carved, not that it's in runes.
Carve it in English and then age it by 1,000 years and really confuse people.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how you can trick, like, carbon dating or whatnot, but just bury it in a Viking burial place. Kenna, can you do me a favor and just reread that first line again?
First line of?
The Vatnsdalr saga.
The Icelandic Vatnsdalr saga records that when Finnbogi failed to show up for a holmganga, a duel, Jokul raised the Nithing Pole against Finnbogi for his cowardice by carving out a human head, which was placed on a post with magic runes, killing a mare, and then placing the post into the mare's breast with the head facing toward Finnbogi's dwelling.
Fantastic, thank you. I'm just making sure that if you cut out at all in the previous one that we've got a good recording.
Fantastic.
I couldn't tell whether it was on my side or, you know, the bot side or whatever, so.
Blame the bears. So based on all of those sources, how does it work? How does Nithing work? Don't know. Couldn't tell you. We have a series of steps. We have no explanation for why or how these steps function in that way.
I have a few ideas.
I would love to hear your ideas.
I think the idea of almost directing, because obviously you got a pole, you probably put it on the ground.
Right.
Directing, you're connecting, you're kind of doing the grounding element of the land to the pole, you're directing it up through a dead thing.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, like, you know, obviously horse heads were quite valuable, maybe the more valuable a thing you put on top of it, the more potent it is. That's just conjecture.
Perhaps.
But I guess the idea of sending the curse through a dead thing's eyes was
directing death.
Was probably some of the kind of the thought behind it.
Yeah, symbolically, and the idea that of, sucks. I would not want that.
Yeah, the idea of this is a thing that was crossed into whatever afterlife.
Oh yeah, totally, and transcending those, like, human, not human boundaries and directing it at someone. That's brutal.
Yeah. And you know, and it's that kind of, maybe it's, there's also an element of like the offering of the horse head or the life behind it also empowers the curse.
Oh, like in exchange, here, have a horse, in exchange, please ruin this man's life.
Yeah, and yeah, the idea of like connecting this, I mean, it depends, obviously, again, complete conjecture, but the idea of planting it, like grounding it into something that's very much alive, so, you know, the world, the land, and having that meeting between life and death, and da 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 da.
And then, like, especially with Egilsaga, he specifically riles up the spirits of the land in order to enact this curse. He specifically says, "Hello, land spirits, I am here to ruin your day, and I will only fix it if you drive the king and queen out of your land. Thank you and good night."
Yeah. So I quite like the idea of that kind of like siphoning up it and spitting it out through kind of where the eyes are, where the direction is. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, I have a question right here that says, why horse heads? But as we've discussed, it seems to be, although we've only got like two examples, I mean, horses are quite valuable. Mm-hmm. So any sort of sacrificing of that. And, you know, I had a little thought of this when we kind of did the outline. I was like, I know that it's not in remotely the same because the background behind it is very different, but horses are involved in quite a lot of curses or warnings. I mean, they're obviously like quite connected to kind of like good luck, like horseshoes and stuff. Looking a gift horse in the mouth, all of the idioms. But it's, for some reason, when we discuss like knitting poles, kniting poles, the Godfather comes into my head.
Oh, that's interesting.
The horse's head. Horse's head in a bed. Obviously, the motivation behind that was a bit different because it was a prized horse. But there is this kind of like ongoing connection between horses and some sort of like folklore elements to them, or kind of like beliefs surrounding them. Like, because they were quite tied to like fertility and virility and all of that. So yeah, that's just a little thing to think about. I do have
a hole for everybody to go down. Enjoy that.
Yeah, I do have. it's. I was looking it up. It's A Note on the Hobby Horse by Brian W. Rose. And there is an idea behind that the hobby horse, now a child's plaything, has very strong connection to English folklore, especially like it says ancient Morris dance. But again, that is a hobby horse is literally a horse's head on a pole.
Correct.
I'm convinced there's something behind here. There's something here, and I don't know what it is. It may be basically nothing, but
it could be something, which would be cool and weird.
Yes, and obviously, I think it would be remiss to not discuss. I'm going to absolutely butcher this because it's Welsh. The Mary Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm really sorry if there's any Welsh people in here, because I spent 3 years in Wales at university, and I picked up a little bit, but that's since escaped my brain. So obviously that is a horse skull, essentially.
She's mostly a folkloric character.
Yeah. So again, another horse. Obviously there's no real cursing involved, although there is obviously quite a lot of history behind it. Horse skulls and cursing and folklore.
Kind of wondering if the connection there is related at all to the way that horses are a mode of travel.
Mm-hmm.
And in that travel, there is potential for that life-death boundary crossing.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I can't believe
Again. Yeah. The idea, that's such a good point. Because we've touched on it quite a bit about how taking an animal form and crossing boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like Freya with becoming a falcon, Loki doing the same thing by borrowing the cloak and traveling across distance and across worlds. There's a very, very strong connection between animals then, and there's loads of examples. I'm just saying a few. Thor's goats, for instance, and being pulled, Freya's cats, and the chariots and all of that. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I imagine the use of an animal is very specific, and especially horses, which are obviously, as you said, were used for traveling. To be honest with you, with that in mind, I'm quite, I don't know why we don't see more of kind of horses specifically in the Eddas and sagas of assuming a form? Because obviously we've got a load of chariots, but right. not a lot of horses.
Not a lot of horses. not even a lot of, like, reindeer, which would be my immediate assumption, given how northern Iceland is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But instead we get cats and goats and shit.
Yeah, just all the animals you don't really normally expect to pull chariots. I quite like that idea.
That's an interesting question mark to ponder.
This is basically an episode where we don't answer much, but ask a lot of
questions.
This
is what I mean. Every answer only brings us more questions. So assumedly, part of the way that Nithings work is in the writing of the curse on the pole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
don't know how that works, but that's an answer. You write the curse on the pole.
I'm just trying to think of... I know it's like a fool's errand, but the kind of putting myself into the mindset of how would the first knitting pole have ever come to be a thing? Like, what was the original? Where's the original? What?
Snorri destroyed it.
Damn you, Snorri, everything is his fault.
Always.
Yeah, and just, I guess it would have been the idea of... No. We'll see.
I mean, we also can't inherently... Oh, God bless heathenry. We can't inherently... I don't know that we could or ever will find archaeological evidence of such a pole, simply because of the materials involved.
Yeah.
We can't necessarily say whether or not the authors of Egilsaga made it up.
No!
I assume they did not, because it appeared in at least one other saga. However, it was weird, and we have that weird Christianization stuff going on. I can't tell you if this historically definitely took place.
Kenna, you're ruining my dreams.
I know. We have a word for it, which makes me think it was a thing that was common enough to have a word for.
It was a nith thing.
The myth of the nith. I personally am choosing to believe that this is a very much a real thing that happened. I just also am aware that we are probably never going to have concrete archaeological evidence that a nithing pole was ever erected. Which is just on brand for heathenry.
I think we're going to find one.
Oh, I hope we do.
And it's going to be perfect. It's going to be like a dinosaur skeleton, but it'll just be in a bog and it'll just be a stick. And there'll be a horse's skull right on top of it. And we're like, da-da.
Perfect. Please.
But the curse on it would probably be really petty.
Oh, I need it to be something like whoever disturbs this, your shit's going to get rocked.
I've got new funeral plans now.
Ideal. Sif's going to go find a nithing pole for us. Just start digging. Yep. Okay. The other weird thing about nithings is that this is witchcraft. It feels like witchcraft. When you read through it, it feels like witchcraft, right? But it's men performing these curses, and it is very specifically not seen as hergy or dishonorable or in any way transgressing gender boundary lines.
I think I know why.
Is it because it involves decapitation?
Yep.
But okay, I'm gonna push on that because in Ergi,
it's not ergy. Don't say. Oh, damn it!
We have the Saidkona eating the hearts of animals, which is equally metal.
It's just gave no. I thought you ruined my joke with facts.
Correct. But
it involves decapitation.
That should go on a t-shirt. Absolutely.
Specifically decapitation.
That's what makes it manly. Because I don't know. I would like to think, that makes perfect sense, but we have the...
Don't do it again.
We have the vulva eating the raw hearts of animals, which...
They probably weren't decapitated, though.
No, but she ate their hearts.
That's metal. It's a very different categorization to not Ergy.
This is what is weird to me. Because especially knowing that we have that intense Christianization, it would be really easy to turn this into witchcraft and make it a problem. But they didn't.
Maybe the eating of animal hearts was specifically feminine.
I mean, sure. We can just...
I don't pretend to understand gender in the Viking age.
I don't get it. It is weird, and there are very few things for me to research about why it would happen this way, or why it would at least be written this way. I mean, we even have it done as a form of, like, calling someone out for not being manly enough, because he was a coward. He didn't show up to his duel, so he got knived.
I'm sure that'll work out perfectly fine.
Damn you, Eagle. Okay, so we're gonna go to modern examples, because we have modern examples from as recently as 2020 of knighting poles.
Yeah.
Which is absurd. Let me find, okay, so we have a notable one in 2006 when a farmer who claimed he was a direct descendant of Eagle. Is this the same Eagle of Eagle Saga, Sif? I think it is.
Yeah.
So he claimed to be a direct descendant of the one resource we have about knighting poles. And he raised a pole with a calf's head against another man.
Oh, we did it wrong.
The note attached, saying basically that he would not rest until this man was outlawed and dead. Because this man had run over the descendant of Abel's puppy.
I mean, I think if there's any reason to erect a knithing pole, that is it.
Yeah, I'm not mad about that. The matter was reported as a death threat to local police. So in 2006, we're still taking it that seriously.
Although, calf's head, not horse.
Correct, calf's head, not a horse head. Which seems reductive, because why? Then we're killing an animal to get revenge for killing an animal, and that feels circular. I'm not here to debate the ethics of knighting poles. We're all aware that they're problematic.
Yes, if you can't find a fresh decapitated horse head, store-bought is fine.
Store-bought is preferred. Please don't decapitate horses. I'm pretty sure that's a crime in some states.
Yeah, and now I've got Game of Thrones in my head.
Delightful. Also in 2006, a local politician in Norway apparently raised several knighting poles topped with sheep's heads in protest of a local election.
See, now I think the horse head isn't a thing that needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
Everyone else seems to infer that it's animal heads.
Yeah, that's kind of what all the modern examples are. Granted, horses are a lot more expensive and hard to, like, keep. Because people don't live on farms. This one's fun. 2016 is fun. We have knighting poles topped with cod heads.
Brilliant. That seems like a lot more effort. And also, a cod isn't that big, right?
Right. But that happens again. So in 2016, we have the dried cod heads used on knighting poles, and that's a protest against the Icelandic prime minister at the time. But 2 years later, we have the same thing happen, but the pole is erected by someone who is against the salmon farming industry. They create knighting poles and top them with cod heads out of protest. Something about the fish head just feels very anticlimactic to me.
Yeah, and also I'm trying to figure out whether... Exactly. I'm trying to figure out whether the head is pointing... Okay, this is quite grim. You chop off a fish's head, right?
Right.
Do you put it up so that it's looking up at the sky, or do you try and...
Depends on how your pole is constructed.
Orientate it so it's facing in a direction, otherwise you're just cursing the sky.
Well, fuck the sky. I would like to curse my sky.
Yes. I have so many questions about this fish head thing.
I also have questions about the fish head.
It seems that at least in like modern Scandinavia, the message just seems to be it doesn't have to be a
horse. Just a dead thing.
And it's like just a dead animal and you'd be good.
So we have one in 2020, a nithing pole with two svith. What are svith? Is that an animal? Why didn't I look this up sooner? It's a traditional Icelandic dish consisting of a halved sheep head. So nithing poles with altered sheep heads were erected in Iceland. The sign on the pole, the effective like writing down of the curse, cited that the government had been treating the working class, especially women, poorly, and lowered the pay of nurses during the COVID-19 pandemic. So the poll claimed to target that action with a curse.
See, now, you know when you said it's a dish, I just imagine a pole with a plate on it.
And immediately, I love that and think it should be immortalized in art, but that's absurd.
It's like, it just brings the idea of spinning plates to kind of like a whole new kind of weird dimension.
Incredible.
But I know that it's referring to the sheep head, mm-hmm. and there's kind of like the intent, the significance of that is that I'm guessing it's when they couldn't afford to waste anything.
Right.
So they ate the sheep head. So obviously the significance of that in a time when people are struggling is quite large. But again,
it's the more tangible way to have that same representation.
Yeah, so it seems like the animal is sort of themed around the intent of whatever the curse is.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Kind of, sort of. With the cod specifically, absolutely. The sheep head thing, the calf head make less intuitive sense.
Yeah, maybe it's just what was on hand. You know, either you go poetic with it, or it's just whatever you have nearby.
And then, is this the one from 2022? Yes, we have one as recent as 2022, which is this year. And this poll was topped with the severed head of a horse. It was, they committed.
Classic. Classic. Classic.
Just classic. Poll. We really went in.
Old school. Yep.
I'm trying to figure out what point was. I don't know that it was listed. I don't believe they committed to the horse head, but they didn't commit to carving the curse into the stick. You find
wait,
it?
Wait, one moment. Yes, it was obviously a horse head.
Right.
Residents are avid equestrians. Okay.
Oh, so that was targeted.
I take this as a threat.
Well, yeah.
There's quite a long thing. I'm looking at Iceland review.
Yeah, I'm on that as well. And I don't see only the community reaction to it, not the intent behind it. But it was erected. They committed to the horse head.
This is Christiana Thorarin's daughter? We're horse people, and I think if anyone knows Guthnie or knows anything about him, the first thing they think of is that he's a horse man. I guess it's just a choice of, maybe it's just a threat against them in general.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Residents had been involved in disputes in recent months and believe that the poll is related to those disputes or some degree of the media coverage. Yeah, so somebody, whether or not they went and picked a horse because it would be more impactful or because it's historical, up in the air. Goodness, nithing poles are fun.
I'm gonna go into a massive rabbit hole. I just like the idea of a scorn pole. It just seems really like,
just put your scorn on a stick. Awesome.
Yeah, scorn stick.
Scorn stick. It's another use for popsicle sticks, is what it is.
A little popsicle stick with a tiny little toy horse head on top.
That's all. We're going to transition into potential modern ways you can do it yourself. Not that you should be nithing. Please don't nithe people all willy-nilly. This is clearly a big deal.
I will nithe people willy-nilly.
Please do not. Clearly this was a big enough deal that somebody went and decapitated a horse historically in order to fuck someone's day up. So don't make it your first resort. Preferably make it your last resort.
Use the our words and not our polls.
Please nigh responsibly. but also and we're going to talk about how we could do it just for fun, and popsicle sticks and plastic horse heads are one way that we can do this without doing animal cruelty in the process.
Or get a hobby horse.
I mean, I've considered getting a plastic horse head, and rather than committing to a pole, getting a little wooden box that I can put people in, and it'll be my little knithing box.
See, that's cool.
I would like to do that very much. I do not have enough people who deserve their lives ruined.
I just had a really quite a funny idea of this is probably you know like a washing line.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you had a big stick and that stick had a hook on it.
Huh.
And you use that hook to kind of like prop the washing line up a little bit higher.
Oh yeah.
And it has an extendo thing on mm-hmm. it. That is a really good like a knitting pole, essentially. Oh, I think, in my opinion, because then you can raise and lower it at will.
That's fantastic.
You know, if you really want to like knit your neighbor,
inherently, the curse doesn't have to be super intense.
No, it could just be like, I hope that you step in wet. I was going to say wet water. Wet water with socks on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can use a jinxing pole. Just use a little horse head and just jinx him, hex him.
I just got the best image in my head of one of those extendo things with like a tiny, tiny little horse head. It just pops over the fence.
You have the worst neighbors.
I hope your finger goes through the toilet roll or whatever when you're wiping.
Fantastic. Just itty bitty little like inconvenience hexes.
Baby's first knitting pole.
It's a hobby horse. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a great rabbit
hole. Yeah, I know. I have all the ideas.
Then I've already gone through the unnecessity of carving it in runes. Runes were just what they wrote with. It doesn't have to be carved in runes in order for the curse to be effective. That would be silly. Mm-hmm. But if you want, if you're committed, go for it.
I think it would look better.
Oh, it probably looks badass. I think it definitely looks
better. I mean, because just having like in English, I hope you have a perpetual stone in your shoe. That's really petty. But if you put it in runes, like Elder Futhark.
Oh, absolutely. Much more badass when they discover it in their front yard.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh no.
It's just a lot of commitment to transliterate those sounds from English to runic. I mean, if you're really into it, I support you.
Watch me be on the news now. This is really stupid little tiny horse.
Oh, we're gonna get cancelled on Twitter.
I don't think so. This is historical research. This is
historical research, and we have a precedent for modern application.
Exactly, we're preserving history.
The thing that the modern precedent has is animal cruelty, which is not a thing I vibe with. So we are finding alternatives.
No.
Such as plastic horse toys from the thrift store. You just have to decapitate them. They're fake. It's fine.
You can do it in like a really dramatic ceremony if you want.
Just light the candles, turn the lights off.
With a sword.
Symbolically blood your runes. Please don't. That was a joke.
And, you know, swing the sword up and over and chop off that plastic horse
head. Make it super dramatic. Go get a steak knife and make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, just then carry the horse head in like some sort of like on a raised pillow or something and just kind of like
that's so dramatic
and then put it on the pole.
It's a great I love it. Some Halloween jar and glue a horse head on top of it. Make it as pagan as you possibly can.
Yes, just put runes on it.
apartment. Keep it on your desk at work, and when people are rude to you, just write their name on a post-it note and stick it in there. Don't tell them what you're doing. Just do it. They'll stop.
Yeah, I think I'd stop if someone started writing my name on and just putting the name in the jar with a horse's head stuck on it. I think I would stop. I think it's
See, you don't even have that to is threatening curse. In a way. It's just the
threat.
Don't actually hex your coworkers unless they deserve it.
Note to self, hex coworkers.
So if you're not allowed to have things on your desk anymore, this won't work for you.
I will put it somewhere that isn't on my desk.
Diving drawer.
Yep. It'll just have horses stuck to it. Perfect. Like horse heads stuck to
it. It's not suspicious at all.
No, it'd just be like, what's that for? It's like, oh, that's just my horse drawer.
Horse drawer.
Why do you have horse heads stuck to it?
Hexes.
Why do you not have?
Everybody should have horse head hexes.
Exactly.
Oh goodness, this is such a rabbit hole. There's so much we have on Nithing Pulse and still so little, because this is a solid paragraph and another sentence, which is more than a lot of things in heathen witchcraft have.
That's sad and correct. True. Yeah. Ugh. Ugh. Mm.
Have you ever knived anyone, Sif?
No. I know that ruins my reputation as someone who would. It's on my bucket list.
Someday, when someone really deserves it.
Yeah, I'm saving it, because, you know, everyone thinks I've already done it. So when I do it, then you know someone's messed up big time.
I've threatened to do it. I've definitely been individuals I've come across and thought, oh, you deserve a good knife. But I haven't done it because it feels more intense than it needs to. Because a lot of these people don't need help ruining their lives. They do it anyway. I don't need to contribute to that process.
And isn't that just a burn? That's enough.
It is enough. That's enough. I hope they all felt the disturbance in the force right there and suddenly feel bad about themselves.
This is when you find out that just, like, I know you wouldn't have it just on hand, but putting, like, momentarily touching, like, a pencil and a horse's head together is enough.
Just a little as you're saying of something. A curse.
Yeah. And just, like, just, and you're accidentally cursing whoever the head's pointing
sprinkling at. A little bit of curse onto you, just pixie dust, but
yeah,
delicious.
Yeah, like the salt. Like
sniffing dust. Just a little bit of sniffing dust.
No, see, that sounds sweet.
You could put that
and
in
not,
jar.
You know,
that would be good for things. Flick it at people.
I think we're worse without an audience, I swear.
I don't know. I think Theo would have kept us on track, but the hard part here is we're not off track.
We are doubling down on the track.
It's just
we're tangentially. Parallel.
Tangentially parallel. Perfect. Okay. We should probably end it unless there are any last minute thoughts or revelations.
I just want to do an episode on Nithogga now.
I think that's a great idea.
Even though we have basically nothing.
You have a sentence?
We have
perfect.
A sentence.
That's all we need.
So I can make like a good hour episode perfect. Out of that. It's fine. We'll analyze every word.
Every individual word.
Individually. Yeah.
Okay. I'll recap, in case anybody forgot what we were talking about. Nithing Pulse are cool. There are curses that involve the decapitation of a horse, the mounting of the horse's head onto a pole, curse carved into the pole in runes and or in English because language is cool, and the direction of the horse's gaze at the target of your curse. Ideally, you will also rile up the land spirits, use their anger to force the target out of your land or whatever. Up to you. Please knithe responsibly. No, I don't know any more than that. We have two references that are easy to find, Egil Saga and and slay this Aga. Check those out for exactly the same amount of insight that I've given you here today. Because it's all we got. Modern examples of knithing poles are really interesting to dive into. They also unfortunately do a lot of animal cruelty, so please maybe don't do that. If you can't find a naturally existing decapitated horse head, store-bought is fine. I'm gonna end again with please knithe responsibly. This is not an endorsement of knithing. Can't tell you what to do.
It's not.
I can also tell you not to knithe unnecessarily.
No.
Mount a horse head on the like, subscribe, and bell button if you want to hear us talk about more curses and things. We have a Discord server, and you can come tell me how responsibly your knithing processes are in there. That would be great. That would be an adventure. We also have a Patreon. If you're a patron, you have access to live recordings like this one was scheduled to be. It's all right. I won't hold it against you. I missed you. But theoretically, you can come listen to us have these conversations live, which is pretty cool. We have a Redbubble store. It's full of fantastic merch such as Damn You Snorri and Web of Weird, but in pride colors. Fantastic. I'm actually wearing one of our Web of Weird shirts now. Fun fact. If you like... This is so random. I'm doing it anyway. I really like oversized t-shirts.
Do it.
It's like dresses. I love a t-shirt dress. The men's extra long t-shirt is about the same length as the like women's cut t-shirt dress. There are more options. So I have a Damn You Snorri pajama dress and a Web of Weird pajama dress that I am actively wearing, and I love it so much. It's very soft. Yes. I'm very happy.
No. Yay.
What other things do I need to plug?
I'm happy for you. Everything. Oh. As of this recording, we're on 600 subscribers.
We are not.
I'm joking. Oh, I'm not
welcome
joking.
Welcome to live reaction to us hitting 600. What?
Kenna reacts. Yeah, we were at 601 the last time I looked.
The hell?
We overachieved.
Oh, wow.
1 second. I'll double check to make sure we haven't dipped below 500. That'd be awkward. Oh, whatever. We dipped below. 602.
Okay. That's fine. This is fine. Thanks for being here, guys. You're making my brain all spinny by hitting subscribe. I hope you enjoy that because you're all a bunch of fucking goblins. Okay. I think we did it.
We did it.
Subscribe, like, comment, join the Discord server so you can make my head spin more often.
Yes. I will end.